The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles. You're listening to the two-man power trip.
Hey, Johnny. Cool, man. What's going on? We ready to go or what?
Welcome to the two-man power trip of wrestling. I am JP, John Paz, and with me today is the hacker himself. He is the man behind the Conspiracy Horseman, the man behind Hacker Hameen Media. He's all over the place. He's on the Russo brand. You know, he's dominating his own thing. Obviously, he is Mr. Ben Hameen. Ben, welcome in. How are you doing today, sir?
Yalla, yalla, one, two, three, into the four. Two-man power trip and Ben Hameen are at the door ready to make an entrance, so back on up. Before you mess up your five-star frog splash, that's what you need to do is back on up, Infidels. It's Hacker Hameen. It's JP. We're ready to rock and roll, Infidels. The ultimate crossover has begun. Russo brand, two-man power trip, and Hameen Media Group. Yalla.
Hey, it's becoming a pretty strong force. You know, you got all my shows, got all your shows, got Russo shows. So it's good. Pretty damn good. I like this triangle of terror.
Yeah, man, we're making the death triangle work a little bit better than the other guys are right now, apparently. Yeah. But as far as I'm concerned, there isn't a stronger lineup of true veteran voices from every federation that we grew up loving all under one, stadium right now. And just all of our production help, producers, propaganda artists, graphic designers, video editors, social media people being all plugged in through all channels, and this synergy between Goldilocks brand, Stevie Ray TV, Vince Russo brand, Hameen Media Group, Two Man Power Trip, Franchise Talk, Dr. Tom, Kevin Sullivan, coming soon, possibly ODB, and who knows who's next, and everybody I'm skipping from Vito, Stevie Richards, just incredible right down the line. It's unreal in the last year and almost a little bit too much to even look at in the broad scope of things. But I'm far more thankful starting 2021 off with a bigger mountain to climb of work than to be looking, where am I going to find anything for scraps, man? Because we can always work hard and work smart together.
Yeah, that's one good thing. You don't, right now, don't have to worry about anything. Everything's kind of right in front of us. Mm-hmm. Just have to be able to go out there and knock it out of the park. You didn't mention your boy Disco Inferno, though. You know, the man who calls you Ben Heyman. You didn't mention him.
Shout out to DI. He made his waves this week, a lot of what he says is valid. He may not have the same couth that you want him to bring, but he's one of the boys, man. He's an old school wrestler and he's earned his stripes. He tries to knock heads with me when I'm not around, but then Jeff Lane sends the link and usually it ends up with Hameen over Strong when he's got to go face to face. But I give Disco Inferno all the respect he's earned and deserved. And it's, again, me being a guy from the Attitude Era, you as well, to think we'd be alongside, and, you know, I've transitioned into the business. You're smart and have protected your spine and concussions. But to be in there, working with these guys and now performing and producing for them and alongside them, and sometimes having to cut promos on them is a crazy realization, man. One that I'm very happy to be able to do.
I feel like disco is underrated, though. Like, people don't get the act, and maybe that's a good part of it, because he's kind of keeping the kayfabe alive, you know, being that heel. They fall right for it. He loves it, and they just, you know, when he says something like the Brody Lee stuff, you knew that those people were just going to go nuts.
Yeah, dude. And what he's saying isn't wrong, you know, and it might not be in the right tone at the right time.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of argument for that. And, you know, if heels want to get heat, he knows what he's doing, man. He knows how to pluck the heartstring without making it an emotional thing just to get everybody going. The worst thing in wrestling is if nobody's talking about you. Yep. So all you have to do is say one thing the right way. And that's why he is a supreme worker. That's why he's in great shape now, and he can go out and do this and make a paycheck and keep doing it instead of jumping off and doing dives and built his own brand. Obviously K100 is about one of the few other brands that I actually respect alongside ours to listen to. I listen to, you know, Cornette, Two Man Power Trip stuff and them pretty much. I can't take, well, I like Solomonster too. I'll put him over, man. For a guy who hasn't really been in the business, I think he's got a lot of great opinions to offer, dude. A lot of valid feedback that is proven time and time again that he knows what he's talking about. So,
for sure. I was curious about this from you, because you always make a good point, and maybe, you know, it might be different. Sometimes maybe it's the same, but what do you think about the whole Bruce Mitchell thing and that whole thing that went down? Because to me, I was like, wow, I was shocked that he got fired from his friend of 30 years. I know what he did maybe was uncouth or whatever you want to say, but I was shocked that he got fired from Wade Keller. What was your kind of thoughts on that?
The left will eat their own always. And you are one of the few, not you alone, but there are a lot of long established wrestling pundits. Russo got hot when I called them reporters and journalists the other day, because he has an actual journalism degree and I could see where he would, that wanted to become, you know, the underground gatekeepers and the dirt sheets, whatever. And they are as socially dysfunctional as they seem to be. Yeah. And I lump Keller, Mitchell, Bixen, Meltzer, I lump them all in the same thing, you know. Alvarez at least trained with Buddy Wayne Academy and works matches, you know. Yeah. But those guys make a lot of money. However, there isn't any credibility over there as far as I'm concerned. They're a paid property via AEW and have just been around that long, and they're – weird pseudo whatever tendencies are just too much for me to even sit there and listen to and waste my time. So that's why I enjoy us having that. But when it comes to Bruce Mitchell, again, wrong timing, and especially in this cancel culture, what they're trying to do, you're just like opening yourself up. And it's like it was as low as standing up at a wake and berating the widow, you know, like in that time. A, she doesn't owe anybody anything. Explanation wise. B, if you're a journalist, death records are public record. If you can't get it right now and right away, then you should have waited. But, you know, C, Disco Inferno isn't wrong in saying the non-answer is going to keep my curiosity peaked and even more peaked now, because I don't have closure and I'm inside the business. So at least the boys should have an answer, which telegraph, telephone, telewrestler would be out in a second, you know? So at the same time, I'm sitting over here as a 2CW guy who was on the show. Brody's last show was my debut, and a lot of friends are hurting real bad right now who from Rochester were very close to him, and my 2CW brothers, Josh, the 2CW owner as well. We all feel this. So I have to be in the middle as a pundit, a worker, and now somebody who has to not toe a brand line, because I'm always going to say the truth. That's what my integrity lies on. But, you know, when it comes to it, people want to know. And is Bruce Mitchell wrong in what he's asking? Maybe not. Way he asked it, definitely. Doubled down on stupid? Absolutely. But that's what these socially inept fuck faces who've been considered the gatekeepers for so long, they should be gone. The real men are here now. We'll handle it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I have a speculation argument that's been given to me from a medical fitness professional, and I don't want to go into it. And if I have it, it's already being talked about, you know, in other circles, and I'm going to wait because it's not worth me doing a scoop to besmirch a guy's name to get it. Look who had it first. Because I care about Brody Lee and his family, and I had a ton of respect for the guy. He always treated me great. brought me into his home and is a true man amongst men in a sea of guys who can be little pansy ass tattletales and all this other shit. This guy towed the line. And then he also knows what it's like to have to fucking try and eat soup with a big ass bush on the front of your face. And every meal you go out, every bite you take, you got to be checked to see if you got something hanging from your beard. So we had that camaraderie, had a good smoke, had a good drink, always had some good laughs. And that's how I'm going to remember my brother, you know, falling at the end of the day. And if other reasons come out and Bruce Mitchell and Disco, they're vilified, you know, like, fuck, what does that mean? To me, all I want is closure for my brothers to be able to put their head on the pillow at night and say, okay, I know it was this and I miss my dude, instead of saying, what if it was this, that, and the other? And it's always in the back of your mind. That's the reason I want it done, not for some gotcha Tony Khan moment. You know what I mean? And then if it is this, you know, the cover up stink that would follow would suck. So I don't want any of this to fucking happen or be whatever. And I'm not trying to cover anything up, but I'm also not trying to follow it up and fucking shit stir to just get a look at me kind of moment. That shit makes me hot when, but some reporters are going to do that, and it's not going to be Hot Mean Media Group. I'll tell you that right now.
Just interesting that Keller could be friends with somebody for 30 years and goes, oh, I was on vacation. I didn't even check the article. He posted it himself. Like, whatever. That was like, that was really that's, bad, really
that's
bad.
101. That's past the heat. If Keller learned one thing in 30 years, he learned past the heat, bro. You know, that's it, because he's not going to give up his whole thing. When it comes, it's all about the money. When it comes to his paid subscriberships, what's it going to be? Mitchell getting thrown under the bus, or you and I weather this storm together? Well, you see what a real locker room is versus fair weather acquaintances. I don't care if it's 30 years or what have you, man.
What's Vince up to? What's he been up to lately?
He's been working on his H phone. Having to get this goddamn Twitter figured out. Declan programmed all my contacts in here, pal. I was looking the other day. I said, it looks like I got a voicemail here. I'm not sure exactly who this one is from.
Hey, know. Boss, this is the voicemail you wanted me to leave about your cameo. Actually, you wanted to accept because it's too much to process.
Yeah.
More than one cameo at a time.
Just so one.
The first cameo is Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah.
He's the owner of Tesla. My. He wanted you to send him a cameo congratulating him on being richer than you.
God damn it, you son of a bitch, Musk. You're not richer than me, pal. You think you can build rockets? I'm going to build a rocket. We're going to have Royal Rumble on the moon. The first one, pal, ever. And guess who's going over strong? That's right. Nia Jax on the moon, pal. She's the only one who's got the weight enough to weigh herself down. Everybody else can be floating around. Yeah.
I feel like he would do that, Vince. But he'd get fans up there.
If he knows somebody's richer than him and that there's a possible competition, he will open up a franchise on the moon and make sure he's going to build his own rockets. Declan, get my goddamn rocket clip.
You know that awesome story with him and Trump, right? He got mad at Trump. Trump supposedly put like little shoulder pads in his jacket to make him look pretty. God damn it, he's trying to upstage me on my television program.
Shoulders on that son of a bitch. Who's that big son of a bitch? Damn. Get Solomon in here. Where's Lars? We had fun with it though, man. Russo brand, Russo TWC for Master Shoot Theater Fun improvisation. With all your favorite characters of the WWE universe making appearances and, or the WWE alternative universe, I should say, the underground, maybe we're in Raw Underground. Yeah, let's bring that back. And Russo TWC, great time every week with Stevie Richards and Vince Russo having some laughs, man.
Where did you actually meet Russo? Like, how did you guys get together and create this, masterpiece?
Well, yeah, it's mainly digital friendships till we became face to face. So Stevie and I were doing work together, which actually, the Conspiracy Horseman came because Sal and I were friends from OVW and GGP and him were friends, and obviously Sal and Stevie Richards. So we started sharing these conspiracies, became friends with Mike Manna himself. And then that blossomed into us doing the Horsemen, then the Friday Locker Room, and then Stevie and I teaming up to be business partners together, you know, just verbal handshake deal. And then Immortal Championship Wrestling and Dynasty Championship Wrestling started booking us together, whether it was me and GGP, because Chris Envy, who owned Dynasty, is a big supporter of the Horsemen and conspiracy theory. So they put us together in a new clique. We turned on the FBI, like Sal turned on Nunzio and Guido, and that was awesome. And, you know, then we were kind of off to the races as actually being a clique in wrestling, not just these podcasters. Stevie and I do the Friday Veteran Locker Room together at Hameen Media Group or hackerhameen.podbean.com or Spotify, whatever you want. Just search Hacker Hameen, all one word. Run down the week's news and everything that we usually do. So when the shit went down with Vito and Bolin on Russo brand, Russo was like, all right, you guys are going to get separated and go separate ways. And he was looking for help there. He put out, I'm looking for two veteran talents. Well, Stevie and I are like, why not? Stevie knows Russo from the Dr. Stevie stuff, Impact, everything, right? So he reaches out and Russo goes, oh man, bro. He goes, I just got hit up yesterday by Ryback and Pat Buck. Which did not end well between Ryback and Pat Buck, who managed Buck for, like, you know, I was in a program with Buck at OVW for a year in Conway. And then Ryback is, you know, also OVW 101 and worked with him and wrote for him in DCW. And we actually crafted the original Ryback character from scratch. So, you know, I'm like, I can't jump these guys, you know, what am I going to do? But it ends up that it doesn't work out. Like 3 or 4 days later, Russo gets back to us and we start doing the Raw and SmackDown review through it with him. And, you know, I can do 1,000 characters, man. I'm a professional improviser. So, I've been doing Vince for my buddies for a long time and I can do a fair amount of other guys, Jason Sensation style, you know, and, it just with my improv background, that 1 or 2 minutes that I originally would do on the Raw and SmackDown review, I can go 20 minutes, a half hour, you know what I mean? An hour in character. If the scene's right, you'll feel it when it's time to change or move, but Master Shoot became its own show unto itself on Russo's Patreon. So getting a little bit of money or paid, but I'm thankful for all of it, to improvise as Vince McMahon, or Vince, if you will, and whatever other character is, it's a crazy thing to me. And I look forward to it every week. It's really the highlight of my week, man.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. It's so funny. Well, you know, obviously Stevie plays a straight man. You know, Vince is kind of lining it up, but you just knock it out of the park. It's so funny doing that stuff because, you know, like he would really say some of that like insane stuff from what you've heard of Vince, you know, all through the years. Well, which is great.
Comedy. I mean, that's the first rule of Chicago improv. I mean, people say yes and, but if you ever get stuck in a scene, you just tell the truth about yourself because the audience doesn't know, but you know, and they can see that you're saying something that'll ground you. So I just go to all the tropes that we've seen along with all the stories that we know and then all the backstabbing ways and vindictive things that we've seen throughout the years. And you just pull from that and the rest kind of fills itself in, man.
Yeah. Good. It's good stuff for sure. So what do you kind of think about Russo, the writer? I mean, so many people have different opinions on him. Obviously, I know you're very friendly with him, but what do you think about him as the writer? Why is he kind of overlooked? And why is the wrestling business one of those businesses where success doesn't actually equal like a great resume to the marks, you know, to the fans? Like, how come he's got this great resume, but it doesn't kind of equate? It's almost like you did so well, we got to knock you down a peg.
There it is, isn't it? Like, you can only go so far, or there's some of that North-South stuff because Cornette tried to ruin his brand, and that's just that Dixie versus Long Island. There's something about those two accents. Yep. They are North and South opposite poles of a magnet, like literally, and they just, oil and water will not go together, you know, even though most of the time, they're saying the exact same thing, whether it's, bro, you got to hear me and what I'm telling you, Jim. Or if it's, I ain't trying to hear that shit. You know, yeah. Like, both of them sound like ribs. You know, one sounds like an old Jewish woman and the other one sounds like crazy cooter down in Hazard County. Like, and it pops me, man. And their characters unto themselves. But when it comes to Russo, the numbers are indisputable. The creative's indisputable. And we lived in that 90s renaissance where it was Jerry Springer, where it was Club MTV, where it was that. And he was one of the few who could say, let me pull from pop culture right now and paint with that brush all over WWE's canvas. Vince can't do that. They can't make, look at how they ruin cool guys every week, from black cool guys in the Hurt Business to sexy cool guys in Drew McIntyre and Sheamus, to make them talk about whiskey drinking and all the stereotypical bullshit that's him and Bruce, who are so out of touch with anything that's cool. So that's where Ed Ferrara and Vince Russo definitely changed the game. Now, do they write bad and corny shit? Yeah, but look at the talent that they were dealing with versus the talent now. That is a shark tank from The Click, Sean, HBK, to Triple H, to fucking Vince himself, Austin, writing for The Rock. You got to get through all these landmines, Mick Foley, of who can work with each other while they're trying to be the top guy, and then keep your mid-card straight. And, you know, just, I think the Val Venus stuff, the right to censor stuff, that's where we need to be back to, bro. And these things that we have that are gifts given to us, that they make a great move in the Forgotten Sons. What if the Forgotten Sons were on the streets yesterday and that was going down in the backdrop, bro? And they are in front of the Capitol building. You wouldn't have had to pay a dime for that. And you know how real that would be in wrestling compared to what do we got now? The nameless, faceless knights of the lone wolf. Like, what the fuck, bro? And the other guy's repackaged with Sheamus as a roadie. Like, we're missing. We're missing.
Oh, Elias. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like if that was Russo with the, he would have seen the opportunity to get the Forgotten Sons inside the Capitol and be putting over Trump on the promo and actually get him on the Senate floor. Yesterday, they did all that stuff, right? Whatever theater of the absurd you want to believe it is, false flag or the real deal, whatever side, I don't care you are. I'm talking from a wrestling bullshit angle perspective as a producer right here. I would have gotten the Forgotten Sons in there on the Senate floor and had the promo ready to go from the Senate floor. Nobody cut the big promo yesterday where, hey, we've stormed the Capitol building and now here's our list of demands type stuff. You know what I mean? Opportunities missed. Russo doesn't miss those things. He sets them up for the opportunity to have that. It's that type of vision for reality instead of the wrestling tropes and the you've been here for a cup of coffee. And I see it on AEW. I've seen it on Impact this week, unfortunately. A lot of things in the ways we never talk to each other for real. Let's take the cues from Breaking Bad, Sons of Anarchy, The Sopranos, whatever it is, and write real scenes, real dialogue with real people. Or take the bullshit that goes on behind the scenes where Miro tweets something and then Lana's got to deal with the bullshit fallout after going through a table again. And like, show us the real. So like, but they'll never expose their soft underbelly like that. And that's about the only thing left that could save their show, because the Titanic is 2/3 under the water at this point. The only thing you can do is sink her, bro. You got to end Raw and you got to start all over again new. There's no way to revive that brand as a corporate brand. You know, and I talk about this on Hameen Media Group, how to revive a damaged brand. And there's a lot of that going on in the post Me Too movement and speaking out movement in wrestling. You know, I've seen what not to do, which is what Joey Ryan and Quackenbush do. It's shave their face and come out with this weird 20-minute to an hour promo. Like, no, wrong. So WWE's got even way more work to do than that, because they've been molesting us with some bad touches for a long time.
For sure. The thing with Russo that's so funny, it's like, okay, the dirt sheet guys and like a lot of the more current guys don't like him or are against him, but the guys that do like him,
what do they know?
What do they know? Exactly.
How many wrestling shows have those guys written?
And the guys that do like him, Steve Austin, The Rock, Goldust, Mick Foley, pretty big names. I would say
they do. What are those? Yeah, guys?
But isn't that weird though? Those guys love him, but the other guys don't. But those guys drew all the money, and the guys today not so much.
And time again, because that's, you know, just America 101, build people up to tear them down so you can stand over them and say, ha, see, I'm better than you. You sucked. You put something on a pole. I got one fucking line on a pole. Like, and you know, then the Russo loyalists come out and get into the threads or whatever. I see it all. I'm Hacker Hameen. But you know, that's just, are you going to sell for these people who've never done anything in their life? Or are you going to be like, all right, I'm going to listen to the pros? And not only that, you want the Stooge Report. That's why we call ourselves Black Market Creative, because Elias did reach out, because Baron Corbin does reach out. And then when he goes to pitch something, he has to pitch it over the phone 3 weeks later to McMahon over the phone, try and pitch a creative idea over the phone. Like, that's how little they care about their performers and their process, bro. And that they'll build a guy like Drew McIntyre up only to crush him for no reason because of the old man changes, like he takes Viagra. He gets a stiff one and that's it. You know, like, we're on to something else. So, you know, there's got to be a vote of no confidence soon, where people just say, no, you're not doing this anymore. You've damaged this product enough, because his own people come to us for ideas. We've had three or four things bastardized on TV that have been taken off already just because they don't even know how to execute them properly. You know, you give them gold and they're going to turn it into dirt at the end of the day. They just cannot. And that goes the same with this country. Why do we have people who are 74 years old running this country? Why there should be a cutoff age of 65. You know, these people in these coffee shops every morning saying ridiculous things that they are just repeating from the news and bastardizing it. Like, you know how your parents are when they say some wild shit where it's just like, okay, you're just talking to hear your own voice. And that's the level of people we have running this country as well as this company. And you can't hope for any success in either arena at this point, man.
I feel like if you're going to bring in a creative guy and you bring in Bruce, who is not known as being a creative guy, he's known as being more of like the producer, can get things done behind the scenes, never was great in creative when he was in charge of creative. It was more of a cartoony kind of stuff. So was he just brought in to kind of just be Vince's like real filter? Not what they say, you know, Russo was.
Oh, he's there to be the yes man. He's there to be like, the yes man.
That's it. Because he's not a creative guy. Normally speaking, doesn't speak, you know, throw that out at you.
So he'll get Vince wound up to do ribs like the Lana thing, and they'll chuckle about it so he can play the boys club card that I'm with Vince and we'll write this into the creative, because that's not a real creative decision. That's a vindictive get back. You know what I mean? Yep. And they can try and cover it whatever way they wanted to, the same way they did with Mickey James for no reason whatsoever. And you know, that will only take you so far. It's not going to fix anything. All that does is give you a closer yes man to keep you placated. It's like a babysitter situation where he's not crying right now. You know, we'll do anything to keep the kid from crying. And then at the end of the day, everything around you, the house has been burned down. The kid's alive, but the house is fucking burned down because, hey, we didn't want him to cry, so we let him play with matches. Did he drop the match on Alexa Bliss? I don't know. Did he do it? You know, like, it's just, and at the end of the day, Bruce will get tossed on that fire as another scapegoat. We had the meeting with Jacob Ullman at Fox going on 2 years ago this June. And they were at a 3.1 on SmackDown at that time. And then when we go down to a 1.7, and we had warned them because they had dropped from a 3.7 to a 3.1, and they expected SmackDown to be at a 3.5. His answer, after making me write a 4-page consultation agreement, which they then didn't get back to us on, was still sitting on his desk, was to mark out and hire Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman as the GMs. Well, Vince loves that. You know why? Because now we got 8 months that we can bullshit our networks, Fox, we can bullshit them 8 months more, and then we'll drop the hammer on Bischoff and it'll all be his fault. Yep. And then you know what? Over there, we'll do the same thing on Heyman. Okay, and now they're both gone. That was year one. And now Bruce is in charge of both shows. Well, boy, I wonder what's going to happen to Bruce at the end of the day. What would your guess be?
Bruce is going to be the scapegoat coming up very, very soon. I'm surprised he wasn't used already. But yeah.
What happened this week? Who did they hire?
Who the hell did they hire?
Liburo? Russo will call her Luchador. Christina Luchador is what I'm going with now. Christina Lucha from IFC.
Somebody sent me that.
The new head of creative operations. Well, what does that title even mean? Yep. And guess what that means? in 5 months, we will blame everything on you. That's what that title means, bro. How about the chick who showed up with her Emmy award and was walking around with it backstage?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to her and the heat on her? Like, people think like, oh, it's things have changed. Nothing has changed and nothing will change until there's a vote of no confidence where everyone becomes an Oklahoma firefighter and holds their feet to the fire.
Yep.
And they just have to end Raw, and we need to have a complete restructuring and renew of the show. There's no way to save these brands.
How much money did those guys end up getting
this year from USA?
No, the firefighters when they sued and
$39 million on a $10,000 investment.
Oh my God. Wow. Pretty good guys. Nice.
That's what I said. Here's your thing. If you got a investment company, invest $10,000 in WWE right now and then wait 6 months for them to lie about a bunch of shit and then cash out in quarter three, as they've done every quarter before the, like 2 weeks beforehand, then have your lawyers ready on standby. It'll cost you another $20,000. So it's really $30,000 up front. $20,000 for the lawyers to sue them. The precedent's already set. Easiest way to flip $10,000 into $39 million, just like that, dude. So there's my investment tip for the day.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because that Saudi Arabia deal is not going away. Something else will happen, probably.
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. I got to see what's going on with Young Ryder.
All right, boss, I'm leaving this voicemail. I'm being really quiet right now. Not because I'm in Jacksonville at AEW, because I know that's the rumor going around at Titan Towers that I'm interviewing with Tony Khan for a Young Ryder position here in AEW. The rumors are not true. I'm loyal to WWE.
Oh,
hold on. Tony, I'll be right there.
Hey, put it.
I'm loyal to WWE, and I'm not going anywhere. I want to be the Young Ryder 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, even when I look like Dory Funk Jr.
Hey, pal, yeah, you're on right now with two-man power trip, John Posner and me, pal. Vince, I heard you were texting me looking for a job.
That is been the same since I left the WWE, man. I want to come back home, man.
Well, there's always a warm spot for you right by my side, pal. I put a little... What's up, Vince? We're on right now with Johnny Paz. We're doing two-man power trip. The Vince Russo making a special call in, bro.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
Johnny, I don't think who's the hardest worker in the business. You
are
Johnny Paz, bro.
Dude,
how about that?
I got to put him over, man, because I've got a great staff behind me. Well, he does now, too, with Hami Media Group plugging into the two-man power trip brand, but just really stealing all the thunder right out of the gate in 2021, announcing the big conglomeration between all three of our brands, man. It's just going to be a great year ahead.
And bro, I spoke to our girl today, and I'm getting ready to go with her. I don't want to say nothing yet.
Yeah.
But we're just gonna do like a test video tonight to make sure we got the internet and all that, and we look to be good to go with that too.
Oh man, it's gonna be great. I'm sure you're calling me about the other meeting. I can give you a shout when I'm done. Yeah. I'm also meeting with Vito and Big Ray at 6 p.m. So it doesn't stop here. The production keeps on going, baby.
Absolutely, yeah, bro. Just touch base with me, man.
I will. I'll call you as soon as we're done, buds.
Thank you, Vince.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. Can't be more than that for you. Live.
Yeah, look at that. Wow, that's awesome. Nice little pop in.
Yeah.
From Vince. That's awesome. Nice. He is probably calling you to set up some more MasterChute Theater, I'm sure.
Probably that. There's
a lot going on. Videos
going up. We got Stevie Ray TV Patreon launching, and just trying to get the workflow and process figured out, and everything along those lines. And right now, Rip Rogers podcast getting recorded too. So everybody, it's all hands on deck, man. And everybody has just been kicking ass. First week of 2021. The opportunities I was blown away yesterday. Yesterday and today could be two of the best days in Hami Media Group history as far as teamwork and opportunity being created, man.
I did get a great, I did an interview with Rip Rogers a few years ago. So I called him, left him a message. He calls me back. I must've just missed it. He literally leaves me a message. He goes, "Is this a fucking Rib? You literally just called me. Why aren't you picking up? Call me back." I was like, "Is he joking?" So I called him back. He was all nice. So I was like, I don't know if he was like working me or not, but I was like,
"Oh, that's how Rip is. He comes out of the gate super hard for shock value, but when it's just you and him on the side, man, it's he really gives you all the knowledge and foundation and the time, because that's a exterior old carny shell, you know. Yep. But when you're in with Rip, you're in for life, bro. So that's what we do. But yeah, get with him, man. The Hustler Podcast. You can get the official Rip Rogers FR podcast if you want to be swearing at and hear all types of great vulgarity stories. Patreon.com/Hameen Media Group right now.
Yeah, how was that with Rip? Did you train under Rip? I mean, obviously OVW, you have some time, but was he like your main trainer, or did you go?
I'm a Rip Rogers guy 100%, bro.
So like, was he your finishing school guy, or was he your main trainer all the way through?
My main trainer, in the beginning it was, and I wish I had, and this is something I do regret, because it was Nick Dinsmore and Matt Capitelli at the time. Oh, okay. And I mean, I would know him and we'd see, watch, but like, I reached out when I was in Chicago and Rip responded. So Rip brought me in. So I started right in the intermediate class, and dude, I'm not in the greatest shape now, but I was a big fat bastard then. And, you know, being a comedian, you are kind of like these archetypes in Chicago. And there's a lot of guys that are like the Chris Farley semi wannabe, you know what I mean? And I was more like Dan Aykroyd-esque, but I guess that you're just that guy on the team. You're the big guy on the team, right? So once you go to wrestling, I wanted to prove, I'm not going to tell nobody what to do unless I can do it too. Like, that's just the work ethic I come with. And Rip would have me puking in the corner 40 minutes into a 3-hour practice, bro. And, you know, fucking blew my bursa sack out on the first day on dropping an elbow the wrong way. And he let me do it just to fuck myself up. And, you know, like, I missed elbow drops, dumb shit, like, until I learned it all the hard way. And then he started Derby City Wrestling, the student show, which even had 100,000 plus viewers on TV. And he wrote the first 22 episodes to like get Adam Revolver and Ted McNaylor, who's on Hameen Media Group. We were working together, and Martin Evans, who's a BBC correspondent in UK. And he gave it over to us, and from there we wrote 50 episodes until it got canceled, thanks to Brock Lesnar. But then I also wrote another 70 episodes OVW Main TV. So after Rip went hands off with it in like schools for those first 22, I just started applying my improv stuff and teaching all those guys, Jamin, Serena, Power, and everybody that style. And I really was able to – not I, we were able to create something really special. And JTG came back, you know, Damian Sandow, Ryback got relaunched and re-signed off of that. Serena did great stuff for us. I think we had Dolph Ziggler one match. We had both the Crime Time, Al Snow. So there was a lot of like great moments for guys who were just in the school getting ready for TV, and also OVW TV. If there was anything detail wise that couldn't be picked up in the time we had there, we would play those details out on DCW, and it would give our diehard audience a real feeling of completion. And sometimes those stories would come back up around on OVW TV. So it was great fun to play in between both shows, a lot more fun than Bruce is having right now. But when it comes to it, Rip Rogers is and will always be my main trainer. And now, you know, I guess before that, just watching everything was Ferrara and Russo. And really the reason I went to OVW is because I was doing a show in Chicago at Improv Olympic. What was it? Late Night Late Show or World News Tonight? I can't remember. I was playing a lucha because they had a wrestling show because Ed Ferrara was the guest. He was teaching at Northwestern. And he and I closed down Improv Olympic till 3-4 in the morning, drinking as many beers as we could. And he treated me very well for the mark I was at the time. And told me that's where I need to go if I'm to be serious. He said it's the same as this is right here at Improv Olympic Training Center, that until you go to get to the next level, you're right on the cusp of it. And Jordan Klepper was the host of that show, and he's on Daily Show and everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was really Ferrara crossing my path that sent me to OVW, Rip Rogers guy, all through my career. And now I'm working side by side with Russo. So it's a strange pattern. Sorry, Dogs of War going off Amazon. Must be here.
Amazon is dropping off some packages up front. Yeah. I actually, and I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you, I took a couple writing classes with Ed Ferrara. He came up to New Jersey a couple years ago. I took some writing classes. Man, people think like, oh, he wrote, you know, Crash TV, did this. He is like a genius writer. He knows like the structure.
Screenplay, dude.
Yeah, he's great.
Yes. Oh, a brilliant mind and a great guy, man. And really into sci-fi and trippy things, dude. And a mind you wouldn't think, you know, what do you think of the Oklahoma scene and all that little bullshit heat? And like, it's so much more than that, dude. Such a brilliant mind. So when it goes back to your original question there with Russo and all that, F all those people, because they don't know, bro. They really don't know at the end of the day, what it takes to be able to write multiple segments across long-term business, cross those worlds while managing things like stupid people who want payback and cheap politics and then somebody getting hurt, somebody dying of a drug overdose, like all those things. You might start out with one script. What's going to come out on the other end is something else completely, you know? So they're both of those guys are so underrated, just being able to survive in this business at that level. People have no idea because there really isn't any other business aside from American politics that can compare to it, bro. I've worked in Fortune 500 companies as a marketing expert and I've seen some real crazy shit. It doesn't compare to fucking comedy, wrestling, or politics. Those are the three craziest businesses I've been in, man.
So you do have experience writing, obviously, and you're still kind of interested. Did you really put in, you know, a resume and send out some feelers to be the head of creative for WWE, or was that kind of a work?
No, I sent it out. Like, I stopped doing it for a while because I did it since 2004. Maybe not for the head, but, like, you get all the way up. But I've been blackballed for being this character, picking up the Muhammad Hassan, torch and being the next guy. And that's fine because that leads to my conspiracy theorist 9/11 truth movement, which will never, you know, go away until things like yesterday happened and really exposed people. The original question was, I got off base there.
So are you really interested in becoming the head of creative?
That's what I remember when I was in improv really go, if I could take this and take this to WWE, this will change everything for 1,000 times better than it even is now, right? And this was like 2005 when I thought things were sucking. And now we're in 2020 and where are we, right?
Yep.
So I knew this was the key and that I had something special with my wrestling knowledge and being able to cross this over, that if I can complete this Jedi training, I could step through and be a master, and that, you know, sure, I can say all I want and piss people off or however they're going to feel about it. But at the end of the day, time vindicates me over and over and over again. And instead of doing the right things in a new way that would be magical for them, they choose to just turn a blind eye. I keep applying and I've been called back on other gigs, and then they're like, all right, we're going to send you to second round interview. And then somebody pulls the plug instantly. I interviewed in Stanford for 2 days in 2008.
Wow.
And then Freddie Prinze Jr. got that gig. And then, that's when I started my indie career. Kind of, I left OVW, 2CW, yada, yada, yada. But now when I apply, yeah, it's $600,000. It's $700,000. Why wouldn't I don't, I'm not going to devalue myself. They could have got me for 90K 10 years ago and paid off student loans. But now I roll with the greatest writer in the history of the business. I feel, at least he says it, that I impress him every week with my knowledge. So if he's the guy who made your product, then what am I, the next version of him? I'm a superstar player. I have to believe that in myself, and that I've paid my dues 10 times over in comedy and in wrestling and in performance and in and having a professional marketing and professor career as well. And now podcasting as we're doing here. So they can keep on the road that they want to, because I don't need them, but they need me, you know, at the end of the day. And if they don't, then good luck to you. But if you're going to bring me in to really do what needs to be done, it's actually 700,000 now by the time this podcast is over. I probably wouldn't go 600, maybe 666,000, pal. That's all I'm going to offer you. All
right. Hey, Russo is getting a million from WCW. Come on.
Yeah, but I'm not tried and tested and then jump ship. Yeah. Now, if I did 2 years at WWE and brought the ratings up a full million viewers and I go to Tony Khan, believe me, I'm going for double what they got me for. And then I'll go back to Vince and go, it's $2 million. And if you can't invest that when USA Network's giving you $462 million this year to produce that dog shit that you laid out this week, well, good luck to you, pal. Fuck them, because that's all you're going to get. Like, that is your best effort. Meanwhile, I can outright that in my sleep on, you know, or getting up in the middle of the night. In 20 minutes, I could have written better show front to back than that. But it's really not that. I think that show this week was good. It's that a senile, sick man chopped it all up and nobody stepped up to stop him. You know, that's their biggest problem. And if that's what I have to be to look into his face and say, no, we're not doing that, then I will be. And if I get fired right there, so be it. But I'm not going to go, yeah, best idea ever would be to switch Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre in the finish here and undo all the threaded business that we just did on Raw so you can have your match with Drew and Goldberg, even though we wrote this whole show to pay off with the Legends and Randy Orton falling on his ass. Now, nothing makes sense. If you do that, that's just to placate you in a crazy way. Why would we do that? I will look right in his face and say that. Will anybody else on his staff? That's the $700,000 investment that needs to be made.
So funny. I saw it all over Twitter, and then I got a bunch of text messages about it. Like, did you see the end of Raw? I'm like, yeah. They're like, where did Drew McIntyre disrespect the Legends? I was like, I don't know. I was confused on that, too. I was like, Orton disrespected the Legends.
Oh, he did.
Drew kissed their ass. I was like, that literally made no sense. Goldberg looked like an idiot.
I broke this down on Raw and SmackDown Review, and I'm happy to give it to Two Man Power Trip people. Yeah. Here's what happened, and they even said Drew was hot, and this happened on Saturday, which doesn't excuse it, because if you had Saturday to Monday to fix this and you didn't, you still went with that, you are fucked and you deserve to be fired. Okay, let me just start there. The creative team writes a great show. From the cliffhanger of Alexa Bliss about to be lit on fire, we would have picked up the show there, okay? I absolutely believe they were gonna. Then we also have this whole thread with Orton insulting the Legends. Great stuff. The Mark Henry thing was fucking great, where he's scooting away and he's berating them. Holy shit. But Vince, I know, if he goes against Goldberg, it'll push him to the moon. No, it won't. Goldberg's trash. He has been forever. The guy has to smash his head into a wall to go cut a promo. That's how bad he is at this business. So instead of what it should have been, which was Drew McIntyre and Keith Lee in the semi-main event and Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton in the main, where it would have paid off that Orton beats Jeff Hardy, Goldberg comes down, pushes Orton down, all the fucking Legends point and laugh at Orton. They're all going to laugh at me. Yeah, right? And now the match is set up. That's a great show if you pay off what was supposed to go on in there. Now, here's what happens. Saturday, the old man takes a Viagra, loses some blood to his brain, and fucking decides that he wants Drew versus Goldberg. So instead of rewriting the whole show with the entire thread, they say, you know what? We're going to go Legend Killer for tonight. So fuck that first arson segment. We're not even going to do that. We'll send out Miz and Morrison to billboard the show. Then we'll do a Holla Holla player, and we'll make it a tag match and kill 27 minutes. So that'll take care of whatever the cliffhanger was. And then we'll just say, have Orton cut a 30-second promo that says, I couldn't drop the match. And then they'll forget about that, and we'll be out of the Legend Killer stuff. That's the fix they came up with on a Monday, between Saturday and Monday, while switching the main event to kill the entire threaded thing, because an audience of one wanted it that way, instead of a cast and writing room of 30 saying, no, this is our piece as a creative, and if you do this, it's going to destroy this show, and we can't work under these conditions going forward if you're going to continue to do this and usurp our creative efforts week in and week out. Nobody stands up and says that, because that's the shock value that he needs to set him back and go, wow, a mutiny? You know, what's he going to go? Fuck it. I'll run the cameras myself. I'll be in the tr-. He can't. You just need to, you need to slap these 74-year-olds with the truth that are the same people in your Dunkin' Donuts, Dippin' Donuts, talking some wild shit, and be like, no, that's not the way things are. And you're delusional. This is the reality of the world. And this is why your generation has destroyed it. Okay. Because of your complacency, because of your ignorance, because of your want to toe these lines of vindictiveness. Like it's all within them, bro. And until that happens, or someone steps up to make that happen, you're not going to have any success at all, dude. So that's how he chopped that show up. And then they actually put it out there on TV thinking everything was going to go okay, bro.
Horrible. Makes no sense. Because then at least Goldberg can go over because the Fiend can return.
Should have came out there. It should have been Goldberg to stop him, right? It should have been Orton and Goldberg, and not even Goldberg hitting him. Goldberg is like the block in the road for the, you're teasing it. And that's where the Fiend comes back behind Orton in a lights up, lights down. And that's where the fucking ah-ha-ha, from all right. the levels should happen. Instead, Drew is in the scene. You ever seen that one, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where they remake Lethal Weapon?
No.
Well, Mac is playing the black guy and then
Rage and Murtaugh.
Yeah, Rage and Murtaugh. And then in the last scene, they just switch. They just switch actors in the movie they were making. That exact same movie, bro.
Yeah.
Like imagine you're watching Batman with Christian Bale, and all of a sudden in the last scene, Batman is Michael Keaton. You're like, what the fuck? Just what happened here, bro?
Yep.
That's what they did on Raw this week.
So basically, he just wanted Goldberg, McIntyre. He didn't care about the rest of the show. I was going to go down.
Didn't give a fuck about the threaded story throughout the show, bro.
So bad. We'll
sacrifice his show and the cinematic cliffhanger and then throw guys in on the front end just to billboard the show and say, fuck it, could kill a half hour. Wow.
That's horrible. Wow. That's bad.
You think I'm not worth 700? I think we just went up to 750,000, bro, in that conversation,
right? Yeah, there you go. What about, let's say you don't want to work for WWE. What about, would you ever work as a writer or would want to work for AEW?
Absolutely. I'll work anywhere, man. I'd love the NWA, AEW, and AEW needs a big brother. I mean, I've worked with all those guys. The Young Bucks were hot because of 2CW, and I was part of the brain trust there. You know, when we brought in Omega, we brought in all these acts that you've seen, all came through 2CW. It was New Japan, 2CW, and PWG. Without that, there'd be no AEW. Okay? So, you know, and I came up with Cody. So there's no reason, and Cody and Spears is probably my favorite feud in the history of wrestling that I've ever watched live, bro. It was the way Al Snow crafted that, and to not restart that and bring Al Snow in and play out the, they can't have the old footage because WWE's got it, you know, but you could bring Al in to talk about how these guys were boys, and you knew there was a magic there. They, as much as they liked each other, you knew they were going to hate each other that much more. You could pick up that story from 15 years ago, start it now, because they can't get Spears right to save his life, and he's one of the best workers they got on their fucking roster, bro. That things like that kill me, where I have to sit back. And I do have influence at AEW as just, again, black market creative, you know. Yeah. And we can stooge it. People know, like, who's the best wrestler on their entire roster?
AEW, who the hell is good? Which is a bad thing on my part, trying to think of who the hell is good. Cody's pretty good. He's one of the only guys I care about. Omega's pretty good.
They're not the best wrestler, though.
FTR's pretty good.
Still not as good as this one.
Who the hell? I'm trying to think who the hell's on TV every week.
She's not on TV every week, unfortunately. Well, maybe fortunately.
Oh, your girl Serena Deeb?
She is the best wrestler in all of AEW and can get anybody over. And when she came back from obscurity from the CM Punk stuff to the Mae Young Classic,
yep.
Who do you think is helping with that? When it comes from end of NXT to AEW, who do you think the one is helping with that? Okay, so I'm not here to bury Horowitz myself in any way, but my hands and extension of my creative mind go very far. And it's a lot with Hameen Media Group. Chris Silvio, a phenomenal trainer, my OVW brother, his tag partner is, the, in my opinion, the best producer in NXT. And it was on Impact too, Jimmy Paradise. And his wife or future wife is Tanae, a rebel, you know? Yeah. And so all this, all the time is bleeding over and everywhere we go. And Chris Silvio on my platform, it works out at Sydal Dojo. Like, we're all looking out for each other, and we were all at OVW together, and we're all the same core of workers who get it. And Khan needs people who aren't there to pick his pockets, who can big brother him a little bit and for his own, you know, his own good, really. And things like Matt Hardy having a concussion and other things that would fall on their face wouldn't happen, you know, and wouldn't open them up to scrutiny of where you say, I'm not Triple H, and you smash a fucking chair, which was good TV. But then everything you do after that is exactly like what Game would do. So, right. You know, we got to have a little vision of ourselves, man. And if that's old Heater Hameen to be the one to do it, well, I got shoulders wide enough, bro.
And to me, if Moxley is supposed to be this like Steve Austin type character, why would he take a month off to say, oh, I'm going to get my revenge on you? Austin, when he got screwed over, literally tried to take over the show the next night. Then he kidnapped Vince. You know what I mean? Like, he literally was trying to kill everybody.
Well,
over, you know,
it's tough to plot revenge in this digital age. There's a lot of people listening. You got to be very careful about what you do, which, you know, my character is very good at revenge. Khan said you can't kidnap a wrestler. I say to hell with that. The kidnapping angle is one of the best angles I do, is Hameen. You know, I've done it a couple times. So, you know, whether it was Jessica Havoc, Serena, I kidnap Khan and make him into a radicalized Muslim if you want, bro. You know, all that shit. But anything can be done if the work is treated with the proper respect. As long as you play true to the scene, true to the game and the reality you create, you can take your audience on an incredible ride. They had the opportunity to do it with Firefly Funhouse, and they totally fucking blew it out their asses. You don't have Randy Orton just walk onto the set of Firefly Funhouse and start throwing the puppets around, showing that the puppets are fake and that this is nothing more than a set. Randy Orton has to be brought in through some mythical means into that world. But instead, we just blow it out our ass. Or we want people to believe that Maria Kanellis is at the fucking gynecologist. Meanwhile, the wall has a picture hung on it, and the wall is a curtain.
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here. You want to do Matt Hardy, broken Matt Hardy shit, and the blue screen isn't ironed in the background? You're done. You're fired. Like, these things don't go on in professional production, and they don't get missed. You know, so that to me, that's it. If it was me to go to WWE, I couldn't do this in AEW. But to get that position, it's me walking in, going to Borash in Paradise, going, who stays? And just tell me who's essential, and you get three picks each. Everybody else, thank you for your time. It was, you've tried your best. I know it was frustrating. And then I replace it with the 6-7 people that I know can get the job done across the board. NXT, social media, YouTube, and Raw and SmackDown. Like, this shit isn't hard. It just needs to be done by the right people.
Yep. I feel like, I don't know, for him, it's like, it's very inexperienced. He does a lot of like paint by numbers booking. It's a lot of like rudimentary stuff. I feel like, I don't know, he needs somebody in there booking. It's crazy that just, you know, this like kind of rookie promoter is just going to start booking.
That's what the Sharks do. We circle, bro, and take bites out of guys who got $7 billion. They brag about it and floss it. There's thousands of things. Don't dive in the first match. Don't be fighting on the outside of the ring in the first match. Don't stop doing double booking business on top of it. The finish is the psychological closure in a wrestling segment. And every time they do a finish with decent psychological closure, he steps right on that moment by sending somebody to do a beatdown, and you just killed everything you built to, and you're on to the next one instead of letting it settle. Next week we start this and da da da. You can step on the business once a show, maybe twice if you do it guys and girls, but really I watch him do it 6 out of 8 segments on a show. So it's like the pin means nothing. Here comes the run-in. Who's it going to be? Like, that's every show. So now the pin, which is the most important part of the match, doesn't mean fuck all, bro. And we can talk about phony strikes or overacting referees that aren't reined in or, you know, friggin' burying Vicky Guerrero taking a bump. Nobody bumps Vicky Guerrero. Nobody. You don't do that. Like, that's the whole, like, just mistake after mistake after mistake of restart of Sean Spears, 5 restarts of Brandi Rhodes. You know, we can go on and on and on and on. Like, just because there's nobody there and it's him playing fourth grader and getting back to his inner child and saying, I've been booking shows since I was 12. Yeah, it shows that you've never had a Rip Rogers to sit there and tell you, no, no.
Yep.
No, you're a fucking idiot. No, no, Popsy, you're fucking dumb. You're a fucking idiot. That's not how you fucking do this shit. And then show you the right way. And once you know the right way, well, now you can plug everybody's character into that and come up with a creative way to do things for them as long as it's done properly. There's always 5 or 6 really good choices. But if you don't set it up that way, you'll never be able to get to them to pay it off. You might find one in 5 of attempts, but I can give you 5 of 5. You know what I mean? You're finding it by happenstance. And to be honest with you, where did Cody ever book? Where did the Young Bucks ever book? Where did Kenny Omega? Well, Omega probably booked his own business in New Japan. And that's probably why he got over. you know, and then so now you've got a bunch of guys. Hangman Page, right? He's a vice president. Like, now you got guys you've never booked a town, never set up a territory, never done promotions and marketing. And I don't care if you want to say you got a chief marketing officer. Why doesn't said this on Light the Fuse? How is Darby Allin standing in the ring last night for the weigh-in with a skateboard, and it's not a Birdhouse Projects Tony Hawk skateboard that is Darby Allin's model and version? The fact that that's happening alone, fired. Somebody's fired. In my opinion, these are the things that are million-dollar generators that cannot just be overlooked because somebody wants to play wrestling. They want to have their own little Fed. If we're going to do this, we're going to do this shit right. As businessmen who get max value through social media, through marketing, through partnerships, through, you know, all these spin-off shows. But every time they do something brilliant to bring somebody in, it's a complete botch. Yep. Last night, Snoop Dogg stands in a scene for 5 minutes and doesn't say shit and then delivers the goofiest splash you've ever seen. So they expose them and not protect them and now hurt one of their wrestlers by having a 50-year-old rapper do a terrible splash on him instead of having Snoop rap against the kids who are rapping on the show.
Yep.
Wouldn't that make even just a little bit of sense to shine those guys? Yeah, we bring in Mike Tyson and his crew, half drunk, coked up. And then we got Mike Tyson at ringside. What do? Put the camera on him while he yawns. Well, that's fucking great. Oh, we got Shaq. Shaq is backing Jade Cargill. We don't have a way out of this because we got to get Brandi over again. Brandi throws water in Shaq's face. Shaq's supposed to fight Cody. Is Shaq fighting Cody?
Nope.
No. We're not doing nothing with that.
And where the hell is Jade? She hasn't been on TV.
Three global names. Shaq, Mike Tyson, and Snoop. What value did you get out of them? 0.
Yep.
Unbelievable to me, bro. And that's where the Big Brother pinch him on the back of it. That little go. Everybody pinch that little piece of arm fat. John, grab that little piece of arm fat on your tricep right now and pinch it real hard.
Yep.
1 or 2 of those a day. That's all he needs. And that to me is worth $200,000. I'll take a way less price, dude. I'm not greedy. Yeah. Yeah, something along those lines, you know, just a little Big Brother love. And, yep. we'll get someplace where the door is not open for it's Sting and also it's Scott Steiner and it's Hogan and it's everybody to do the same TNA bullshit that they did before. Because believe me, they're looking to do that, bro.
Yep.
You know, they see you're marking for the nostalgia 1996 WCW. Well, guess what? What's going to happen to Luchasaurus and all these other guys when the good brothers get their claws into you once again, man?
Yep, good call. Now, as we head towards the finish, head towards the wind down here, what do you got going on coming up 2021? Obviously, we're well into 2021 now, but what do you got going on?
That right over there, all that. Yeah, man.
I got one of those much smaller.
You'll get there.
But yeah.
Man, we're just really pumped about Stevie Ray TV right now on all brands, Twitch, Patreon, YouTube, on Twitter. If you guys can join and follow or subscribe on any of those and share them, we appreciate that huge. This is a really, really big partnership with Hameen Media Group with, some really great stuff that's about to be announced next week, with that brand. He just posted, on Patreon, an exclusive interview with, Stevie Ray and JBL. And JBL doesn't do a lot of interviews, so really great there. And he's got his weekly show with Sonny Ono. Working on the Rip Rogers brand to get that launched independently as well. So Rip, we're working on his next book. We're working on his YouTube pro wrestling tees, all that kind of stuff, man. Russo brand running the YouTube behind the scenes and trying to get more advertising there, and trying to get Horseman back on Twitch, man. That's a big battle and censorship we're on right now. All aside from that, Jamin Olivencia website, Emily Barshred website, and, you know, just really keep pushing everybody forward because my team's elevated themselves and I want to line up my producers to be successful with these talents to start developing brands. So really that's what mine and yours next 6 months looks like. I believe a rising tide raises all ships, and we're all going to be successful together because you've built an incredible brand, and shouldering a lot of this yourself, man. And we want to be able to, help with that workflow process and collaborate and, make sure the group is taken care of together. And then, you know, that's success for us all. We're seeing small amounts of it now, and we're just going to keep every day elevating all that stuff. So I want to keep my Hacker Hameen and Hameen Media Group side free. I really believe in free and independent media. But with these legends and stars that are working with us now because of the work we've put in to develop those brands, sure, we're going to reap a little reward. But it, believe me, it comes with a lot of work as well, and it's how much we want to put into it and grow it that we're going to get out of it, man. So that's really what I'm pumped about the next 6 months. I don't see me getting back into the ring because I don't think indie shows are coming back, you know, in the next 6 months anyways, as much as I hope so. I just see the way of the world really raining down on any bread in circuses. And unfortunately, we operate in the circuses most of the time. So while you're home eating that government bread, we're going to create content for you. We always pivot and we'll give our opinions as much as we can, man. And hopefully lift people up and maybe help them escape from a time of craziness just a little bit. And I maybe need to be a little less angry in my own life because you want to escape that and not hear me bitching about phony wrestling. But, man, I'm pumped for everything, dude. And you should be proud of yourself, and everything you've accomplished in 2020 to elevate your brand to get to this point for us to have this opportunity together, bro.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And looking forward to working with you. It's going to be great. Just one last time, what's all the social media plugs in your Patreon?
Yeah, I wish everything was across the board. But Patreon.com/Hameen Media Group. Marketing, culture stuff, extra videos, Rip Rogers podcast, plenty going down over there. Watch-alongs from my career. You can check out our free channels, Hacker Hameen, all one word, Hacker, H-A-M-I-N, on your iTunes, Spotify, wherever you guys are getting podcasts. Every day we review wrestling shows, conspiracy theory. We have on the Hameen Media Group affiliates, Star Wars podcast. Check that out on YouTube. We have South Park reviews, drinking and whiskey reviews, Star Trek podcast. We're just doing it all in that same niche market of 18 to 49, whatever you guys like. We're going to make something around it. We've got Pick'em challenges too. If you're part of Hameen Media Group on Discord, we have that. Same with Russo brand. But on Facebook, we're doing seasons of baseball now, soccer, all the UFC pay-per-views, all the wrestling pay-per-views. We go through and have our admins running Pick'em challenges. It's a great community to interact with the highest level wrestling fans. Is that an oxymoron? I'm not sure. In the lowest levels of Facebook and other places where we exist right now, but it's an ever changing digital realm. So you guys just keep it with, Hameen Media Group, Russo Brand and Two Man Power Trip. And you know, you're in the best place to get all the latest wrestling knowledge and hear it from people who live it. You guys, that's the main part of it all. So y'all, at @bit_Hameen on Twitter. And, what is it? Hacker Hameen on Instagram, I think. I'm not sure. Who knows?
Ben, appreciate it. Thank you for all the time, and really looking forward to 2021 and working together.
Absolutely, JP. It's going to be a great year, dude. And everybody's pumped already. First weekend, we've been doing good stuff.
This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter @2ManPowerTrip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother.